world of thoroughbred racing than Seth Merrow on the road. He's there. He's in Florida. He cleared customs, and Capital District Security allowed him to leave New York. Congratulations.
First road trip in, well, a couple of years. Normally we're down every year for the Florida Derby and a couple of trips up to Woodbine for the Queen's Plate and the Woodbine Mile, and then we're down to Belmont and Aqueduct for big days. Some of the harness tracks, we obviously have been to Saratoga, two or three times a year, but the past couple of years haven't been able to get out of the studio, so it's great. And I told you off the air, I today is really the official kickoff to the work week, and tomorrow morning we'll be up at Palm Meadows and grab some interviews up there in the morning, and then track in the afternoon, grab a few more interviews, and then we're live on the air, OTV TV, Friday and Saturday morning from the Gulfstream paddock set, so looking forward to that. But I told you off the air that I got out of Dodge first thing Monday morning, so I arrived here in Florida. I think it was about 10:15 the plane landed, and I was on the beach by 11 a.m. So, yeah, it's been a nice couple of days down here in Florida.
Well, that Merrow skin, absolutely get that golden brown, get you nice and colored up for the rest of the early spring. I love it. Good for you.
I was slopping on the lotion though after a year, or after a winter of being inside. I was taking it easy the last couple of days, but also I made a couple of nice visits Monday and Tuesday as well. I thought that I'm down here Monday. Let me pop over to Pompano Park and grab one of their they're in the finale. Unfortunately, it's just a sad story. But I went over to Pompano and going to put a little piece together that will air on Racing Across America on OTV TV sometime in the next. Probably, I'm thinking I'll drop it in maybe on Sunday. But I talked to John Berry, the director of publicity. Fun guy. I mean, he's been around the game for years. He's been at Pompano for a long time. So I talked to him, and then I talked to Gabe Pruitt, also the announcer down there, and just got some of the feelings of, as they're winding down. I mean, I think there's less than 10 cards, which used to be on the harness side of things. It was the king of winter racing. So yeah. Just sad to see him go by the wayside. And then yesterday morning, I made my first visit. I always wanted to get up to Payson Park. And I got up to, man, you talk about rural. That is way out there, but it's beautiful. A separate turf track and a dirt track, and just really peaceful. And so I was up there for a couple hours yesterday morning. I'll try to put something together, just giving people a little feel for that as well.
Well, a couple of things too regarding Pompano, and you mentioned Gabe Pruitt and Peter Aiello are gearing up. They're gearing up for this big harness race against each other that is got the attention of Horsey Twitter.
And I'm kicking myself because I didn't realize it till my reservations were all made. Normally, I'll stay for Florida Derby weekend and then hang a couple of days at the end, Monday and Tuesday. This year I thought, well, let me leave a couple of days early, get to the beach for a couple of days, and then I'll get back and have time to unwind before I go back to work. But now I'm kicking myself because the match race is Monday night, and I think it's going to be fun and hilarious. I mean, they've been going at each other on Twitter, certainly, and I asked Gabe a little bit and John Berry about it as well. I think it's going to be a lot of fun Monday night, one of the, obviously, the last big events there at Pompano. But, yeah, it should be good. A little harness match race. You got to love it.
Well, and, one institution after another down there, whether you think about the frontons and the dog tracks and in this case, the harness track. And, when I would go visit my parents when they had the house in the condo in Boynton, and, going to Pompano was actually, more convenient than especially, to go watch to watch races from New York and to get, I'm trying to think back to this. I don't think I had an online account at that time. And so I to go watch, in some cases, our horses that were running. And so I would go a few different times, went to Pompano to watch a simulcast, or up to Palm Beach Kennel to watch simulcast.
Unfortunately, you could kind of see the handwriting on the wall when they decoupled things down here. And yeah, that, you know, Greyhound racing was a little bit of a harbinger, I think. And then unfortunately, you know, Pompano, I mean, I think, you know, the handle's still good and it's still a nice wintertime product. But as they say, once they decoupled, the handwriting was on the wall.
Well, you mentioned your schedule. You'll be on hand this afternoon. You're coming right from Gulfstream right now. 2 o'clock, things kick off at the sale. And I think about 70, 65 hips will actually I'm saving Nicole Russo for a recap tomorrow instead of today. So we'll talk to Nicole tomorrow. And Todd Pletcher is going to be on with us in about 10 minutes, too. And Todd will be on hand. He's, over the years, certainly has gotten his share of nice acquisitions out of this, you know, boutique-y kind of two-year-old in training sale opportunity. So you'll get in the swing of things this afternoon. Any thoughts as well, Seth, ahead of the racing office drawing the Derby?
Well, going back to last weekend, I think Epicenter looked really good. I have said now with the last, I guess, series of Derby preps over, probably going back 4 weeks, certainly 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, simplification. And that this last series of preps we had, as I say, the last 4 weekends, I guess, have all given promise to the Derby, because the early, you know, the first couple of months, it was, you know, the performances weren't, you know, matching up historically the way you might want them. But I thought the last few weeks, I thought Epicenter was very good. I think Echo Zulu maybe has some question marks still to answer, but I would think she would come out of that, you know, and have the ability to move forward. But she's going to be fun watching and being undefeated. Coming up on the weekend, Secret Oath will be fun to watch here over at Oaklawn in the Arkansas Derby. And yeah, we'll see who comes out of this race, you know, the Florida Derby here, but also going back to last weekend, I'll be interested to hear. I will now fire it up on my computer and listen to what Todd has to say and what his takeaway was from Life is Good, because it looked like, looking at the race live, it looked like a mile and a quarter didn't really suit him. But then you read, I think it was Marcus Hirsch in the Daily Racing Forum, was kind of commenting, you know, the track just wasn't really playing to the style of Life is Good. So I'm going to be interested to hear the takeaway Todd Fletcher has on that. But it was a fun weekend, certainly, of racing last week leading into, you know, what's happening here and what's happening over at Oaklawn on Saturday.
Well, and for those that I mentioned a few of the names earlier, and I'll give you some of the wider array, and I haven't seen anything. I didn't go looking this morning, but right now the Florida Derby field expected to have Classic Causeway, White Abario, Simplification, and just those three actually coming off wins, which is pretty cool to have the Tampa Bay Derby winner, the Fountain of Youth winner, and the Holy Bull winner to lead your field.
I will say I'm happy Classic Causeway is going, because they've, you know, floated out there, hey, maybe we'll go straight to the Derby, and I just think Tampa Bay to Kentucky Derby is kind of a toss. So I'm glad they're, you know, I'm glad the horse is doing well, and we'll get another barometer on that one. But I think it's a kind of imperative to get something in between the Tampa Bay Derby and the Kentucky Derby.
Then there's Kelly Breen with In Due Time and Shipsational, Eddie Barker running back out of Tampa. Todd has got Charge It, who we'll obviously ask about. Oh, Captain for Gilberto Delgado. Papa Cap, who I have been a big fan of and who has been kind of driving Mark Cassie crazy, but apparently doing terrific in Ocala under Mitch Downs' care. Steel Sunshine for Bobby DeBona, and Strike Hard for Matt Williams. So there's 10 right there, and we'll see if anybody else jumped in at the quarter pole for this field that is assembling as we speak across the parking lot in that remote racing office under the shadow of the gigantic statue.
And have you ever seen, I'm not sure they have done it since I was down here it had to be Florida Derby weekend. We were down covering it, and they had a party the night before out there. And as far as I know, it's the only time they did it. But the thing breathes fire,
right?
And that was like a big thing that night. They had it, you know, going off and breathing fire. It was pretty impressive. But like I said, I don't know whether they've done it since.
Well, they're you know, there's a whole second part of that thing that. The griffin, is it a griffin that that he's defeating, Pegasus is stepping on, he's apparently, you know, in a U-Haul storage facility somewhere, and
didn't make the cut.
There's gonna be some tarnish on him by the time they trot him out. I think under that, on that side of the parking lot, they were going to have a Feast of San Gennaro. Is that still going on, or is it over?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I walked in kind of from the other direction.
Well, they were going to have a San Gennaro feast right in that parking lot when I came through Gulfstream 2 weeks ago. So I think it might have been like from St. Patrick's Day. It might have been like 10 days. So it might have just ended last Sunday. Because they knew you were coming, and they didn't want you to have all the Zeppelis. No Zeppeli for you.
Yeah, now I'm going to go check anyway.
Let me get, before we get too deep in the weeds, which we're known to do, I am happy that I was able to offset my visits on Racing Across America with your visit out of town.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we had you for four consecutive weekends as you made the sweep. I don't have that kind of a schedule planned, unfortunately.
Although you have gone on extended road trips, it's not like you don't have it in you to traverse the country.
No, I'm happy to do it. And you're right. We have done those, and I have personally done. On a personal road trip, I did Oaklawn, Fairgrounds, Tampa. And then I was over here at Gulfstream at the end of that trip. And I think that was the same trip. On the way north, I stopped at Keeneland. So, you're exactly right. I have made the sweep myself.
Well, and of course, he's downplaying the stops that he made because he also spent plenty of time at Derby Lane.
Not Derby Lane, Sarasota Kennel Club.
Sarasota Kennel, okay.
Yeah. That was my dog track of choice. Yeah. And they had a great buffet, too, and you would think, dog track buffet, but it was at the end of the line, the chef would be cutting up some prime rib. Oh.
Well, just be careful. Just be careful when they offer you biscuits and gravy. Hey, now, what are we doing at Tampa Bay Downs today?
I'll take a look at the late pick four in here, see if we can get something cooking, and it starts, let me just open here, and I went over the scratches just before you called, so I think I'm all set as far as that is concerned. Pick four today kicks off in race number six, Plain Vanilla 20,000 Claimers going seven. I have a 5, 2, 6, and 1. I'll use those top three. Knight of the Crown goes out for Gerald Bennett, who's doing pretty well at the meet. Maybe not the numbers he normally fires, but his horses are still running well. And this one comes off a maiden breaker last time. That I think best race of the career. It was only the fourth start. Just seems to indicate maybe the horse kind of has figured it out. But It's Over comes out of a couple of wins with nice numbers in similar competition. And I don't think you can leave that one out. And then number six, Molina's Dream, is another Gerald Bennett horse. But this one was Sammy Camacho on board. So I wasn't going to leave that team out of the mix either. So in the opening leg of the pick four, race number six, I went 5, 2, and 6.
How about style? What about the Arrigata horse on the rail?
I had that one down on the fourth spot. I said, like I said, 5, 2, 6, and 1.
Okay.
But on the ticket, I didn't use it. But, I wouldn't talk anybody out of it. On the class move, I may kick myself at the end of that. But I was as a 7-pound apprentice on board, so I was kind of willing to leave it up. Although she's riding well, I can't deny that. But again, for me, 5, 2, and 6. But yeah, I wouldn't argue anybody off of the one by any means. In the seventh, we are looking at starter allowance, 8.5 furlongs on the grass. And I'm going to use the 1 and the 2. I have it 1, 2, 7, 3. I'm just kind of master of the obvious here. But they look like they're solid. I couldn't So I'm using Sandy Lane Kitten. Comes off a good second last time in a very similar race. That should have the horse primed. And then in good form is the Craziness off a couple of wins against plain vanilla 16 claimers. But I think it's going to fit with this bunch nicely. But as I say, I'm only going too deep. Obi-Wan, I think, off the last race, was behind my top pick, though. But and again, one I wouldn't argue anybody off of. Morales is having a very good meet. And Fly Away with the early speed, that's the one that kind of scares me. But I'm going to stick with the top two in here. I'll go one and two in that seventh race. The eighth race, I have a 4, 8, 7, and 3. The 9 scares me a little bit. And in situations like that, those are the kind that always get me in the end. But I'm just going to use the top 4 in here, 4, 8, 7, and 3. Our Love on the Run goes out for Rich Avil and Avil Racing. Always have to watch them on that side of the state. I think Rich is from Bradenton, or originally from Bradenton, just down the road. That's where my father was retired when he was still alive. And this one goes out for Gerald Bennett. And as I say, Rich Avril. I'm going back to the Gulfstream races at the end of last summer. The Tampa debut at the beginning of this year. Looks like maybe draw a line through with the class relief. Maybe we can rebound. Gone Dreaming in the second spot. A couple of nice second place finishes against similar. Queen Tiger, 8-1 on the morning line. The Maiden Breaker, I think, was good enough to compete with this bunch. The follow-up, not so much, but now cuts the claiming price in half. And I think maybe we can get to that race two back. And the 8-1 looks kind of attractive. And J.D.'s Vista also at 8-1 coming off a Maiden Breaker last time in start number 15. So can this horse put a couple together? I'm not sure, but I didn't want to leave it out because it looks like a horse that just maybe it's a pretty good form right now. So again, in the eighth, I'm going to use the 4, 8, 7, and 3. And in the ninth race, I'll go 3 deep in here. I have it 6, 5, and 2, and I'll use all of those. Hoity-toity on top. Was in a starter allowance last time. Was in a plain non-winners of one allowance, 2 back. I think dropping into this 16 level, we're going to get a better performance against this particular group. I think class-wise going to stack up nicely. Morgan's Zvoth in the second spot. Nice win in similar race, 2 back. Follow-up, not so much, so it's hard to know. But, you know, at this level, they're a little inconsistent on our best effort. This one is absolutely in the mix, so I wasn't going to leave it off the ticket. And Magic Girl, with that apprentice on, the number 2 horse at 12-1 on the morning line, comes out of a nice optional claimer starter allowance in a first-off-the-claim race last time. So they have a little money in the bank. They go back in to just this open, plain vanilla claimer, and I thought off the last race with the apprentice on board, I thought Magic Girl could be interesting at a price. So in the ninth, I'll go 6, 5, and 2.
One thing that is absent from this sequence, there's no 14-1 Mike Denny's. You said last week.
Don't remind me.
You said in that eighth race, Dazzling Sun. I don't want. I'm a little scared of Mike Denny, and he wins and pays 30-40.
Don't. Those are the kindest of horse player. You just want to shoot yourself. I'm on so much that you're making fun of me. And then last week, I'm like, I'm not sure. But as you said, I said, no, I'm not pulling the trigger. Watch this one get it done. And yeah, a big price. Oh, boy.
Well, the numbers for Seth's, this is a $36 pick 4 play, 2, 5, 6 with the 1, 2 with the 3, 4, 7, 8 with the 2, 5, 6 again, actually. 2, 5, 6 with 1, 2 with 3, 4, 7, 8 with 2, 5, 6, $36 punch for Seth at Oldsmar today. Seth, have a wonderful time. We'll be watching for those cut-ins on Capital OTB, and we'll talk next week. I may be coming to you. I don't know if I'll be at Aqueduct yet, but I'm going to go down to Aqueduct for next week's Wood.
Ah, okay, very good. And, folks, can tune in. OTB TV live Friday and Saturday morning as well. With Handicapper Support Racing Across America. And don't forget, folks out there in TV land, you can watch it on Roku now via the Roberts channel. So, folks that are in the Capital District area can pick it up as well. So hopefully we give out some good info on the Friday and Saturday shows.
Absolutely. Seth will be combing the backstretch at Gulfstream, and he was up at Payson Park, and he's doing the work so you don't have to. Seth Mero 2 on your Twitter. Seth, have fun.
Appreciate it. Good luck to everybody today.
There it is, Seth Mero, folks, and we'll wrap up the morning. The visit next with Todd Pletcher. Let me reach out for Todd, and he might be, who knows, he might be on over in those over in the big tent, looking at the, doing some last minute inspecting of the bloodstock. We'll see. Todd Pletcher is going to join us, and here he is. Todd, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
I figure you'll be over at the sale soon enough. Yes,
I will. Yep.
I'll ask a quick question. What of particularly the first croppers, who has impressed you?
I think it's, as we saw in the yearling sales, it's a very strong first crop. Thought the Bolt Dioras are making strong impressions early on. And, of course, you got Justify and Good Magic and City of Light. Just, really, really strong group of freshman stallions this year.
I know there's one Always Dreaming in this sale, right?
Right. Yeah, and then, we're hoping that the Always Dreaming's come out and show a little two-year-old form. He was actually ran pretty well a couple times as a two-year-old, so we're hopeful that he could have some success early on.
There's a Liam's Map in there. There's a Quality Road. There are lots of things that you've had your hands on. And before we do anything else, I knew I'd be talking to you soon enough here in March, April, but the passing of Eugene Melnick, Todd, and you guys had a lot of success together. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's very sad. I mean, that, only 62 and passing away. He was a great sportsman, as you know, owning the Ottawa Senators, but he's real passionate about horse racing. He loved every aspect of it. And, I'm always appreciative of the opportunity he gave me at the early part of my career. And, just reading some of the things this morning, we had a lot of fun together with Spitestown and Marleyville and Tweedside and Harmony Lodge and Graham Hall. And it brought back a lot of great memories, and a lot of good times with him. He was great for the game.
How did you come to, because that's a good point, that it was fairly early on for you. How did he find you?
Well, it was interesting. I trained a few horses for John Franks, and a gentleman named Phil Horonic was John Franks' farm trainer.
Right.
And he was breaking some horses for Eugene and sort of, got my foot in the door with him through Phil and, just kind of blossomed from there.
Sid Fernando, earlier when we were talking about the legacy with Sid, and he brought up Phil's name as well. And
right, yeah. No, he was a big part of that.
The Flower Alley success. I thought it was interesting too that Melnick, in very short order, and I guess Alan Porter was doing a lot of his bloodstock advice, but I mean he started producing homebreds, Todd, that immediately were successful. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not easy. And he had success at every level of the game. And I mean, he was a guy that when you went to an auction with, he wanted a horse, you're going to have to step up big time to outbid him. And he did that with Spitestown. He paid $2 million for him as a yearling. I think that was the last, Keeneland July sale, summer sale. And, he did the same with Harmony Lodge. I think she was 1.6 or something like that at the Fazek Tipton Calder sale. So, I mean, he was game. And, he went on and developed his own breeding program. And, he was a big supporter of Spitestown early on and really, helped him get started. And, so, like I said, he loved every aspect of the game. And, he liked betting on him. He liked watching him run. He liked, breeding him, buying him. He supported the game at every level.
The one horse that people may not immediately come to mind, but for whatever reason, she sticks in my head and with you and Melnick, was Pico Tenerife.
Yeah. Red Ransom filly that won a number of turf stakes and went on to have some success as a broodmare. And another filly named Marley Bell that won the test. Yep. And so, yeah, just a lot of good times.
Well, and I think people will forget. She, I know she ran in the Frisette. But then after her two-year-old year, you moved her right away to the grass.
With Pico Tenerife?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. No, she was, you know, she found her home on the grass and won a number of graded stakes and just a beautiful filly. And yeah. Typical of what he did, you know, he went out and he would buy those type of fillies and colts, obviously, at the yearling sales with good pedigrees, good confirmation, and that was a big part of his success.
And just a couple of Flower Alley moments and thoughts.
Well, I mean, the Travers stands out. You know, that was a huge win. But I remember going into the Jim Dandy. You know, we felt like this horse was doing so well. We were really, you know, excited about the Jim Dandy, and in between the Jim Dandy and the Travers, he just, you know, you could tell he was a horse that was just really thriving and on his A game, and you know, we were excited about it. And yeah, it was just you know, a great month at Saratoga to win the Jim Dandy and the Travers with him.
Well, and you know, went on to have has had a very useful stud career as well, Flower Alley.
Yeah, he did. You know, he sired a Kentucky Derby winner, and also, you know, maybe his best race was when he was second to St. Liam in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Belmont. He ran huge that day. Just got run down late.
Exactly, and I mentioned, it's funny, yesterday I mentioned that, and you would run him in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he sort of got dirtied up in there. That was, you know, that Borrego had actually, and I think Borrego sucked me in with that performance, actually, because I was a big Borrego fan.
Yeah, it was the Jockey Club was a debacle for us. You know, we decided late to put Bishop Court Hill in as a pace setter, and you know, at that time Lava Man I think was the favorite in the
yes.
race, and we were afraid, you know, if we're going to let him get loose, so we decided to put a pace setter, and then Flower Alley broke sharply and he got a little headstrong, and it was just a, you know, everything kind of went wrong in that race, but it worked out. We set him up well for the classic, and like I said, I mean, he ran awesome. He was just second best on the day.
Well, I appreciate this, and I know I've been very frank about not the easiest owner in thoroughbred ownership history.
No, he was a demanding guy, no doubt about it. And, you know, that's what you'd expect for someone successful in all areas of life.
Yep.
Like he was. And you know, when he was passionate about something, he would let you know it. You know, didn't always take every loss, you know, great, which a lot of us don't, but he made up for it in a lot of other ways.
Eugene Melnick, and you know, as sick as he was 10 years ago, it seemed like he did get, you know, kind of a second lease, that because there was real question about when he got sick, you know, what was going to
happen. Yeah, no, I know he's in rough shape, and you know, when he got the liver transplant, you know, he thought he was doing well, but yeah, it's just unfortunate to lose him too soon.
Couple of things. Todd, there's a real chance we'll be talking on Monday, but I'll quickly ask you for a postscript. I really am not worried about and interested in what went on at Maidan, but life is good coming out of it, and what do you expect to do with him next?
Yeah, he came out of the well. He's actually in the room right now. He's going to quarantine for a couple of days. He's a one star for a little freshman. Yeah, I thought he ran as hard as he could. It's kind of unfortunate that the track certainly wasn't playing the way we would like for it to play, you know, when they go a mile and a quarter and almost 2:05. That kind of takes away his brilliance a bit, and the track just ended up being a little more demanding than we were hoping, but you know, I thought he gave it his all.
I've heard that it was a slow, heavy surface. So we'll get him back, and we'll look forward to the second half of the year, or the last two-thirds. A couple of quick thoughts about what went on in New Orleans. Favor hit the board in the Oaks, and certainly, you know, Pioneer of Medina keeps kind of plugging away.
Yeah, I was proud of both horses. I thought Favor, you know, she was kind of tracking in behind and got bottled up a little bit, and then kind of tried to either come up the rail and then alter course and split horses. And, you know, she was kind of chasing some really nice fillies there. But I thought for her first try around two turns and a stake, it was a very solid effort. And like you say, with Pioneer Medina, he seems to show up every time and run hard. So, you know, I was pleased with the way ramp.
Outstanding. Entry day for the Florida Derby card, and I'm sure you'll have a full frontal assault, but charge it, right? Charge it, the lone participant.
Correct, yeah. We entered Charge It today for that, and, you know, it's a big step from a maiden race. I thought his first two races were very good, and, you know, he trains very impressively. He's obviously giving up a lot of experience and seasoning to some really good colts, but he's certainly shown us that he's capable of, if he's experienced enough.
Well, and 25 points probably gets him in.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Mandy Pope's very realistic about the Derby approach, and she'd only want to go if, you know, if he earned his way in, and she's very patient. So we're under no pressure that way.
Well, and there you go. So in addition to Charge It, and then next week coming back at the Wood with Mo Donegal and I think Golden Code. And what about the other horse from the Gotham?
Dean's List is going to go back in the Bayshore.
Okay. Going to keep him short. All right.
Right.
And you made the decision with Emmanuel. What tipped the scales on Emmanuel to the Bluegrass versus running Saturday?
I mean, it was a coin toss. You know, we wanted to focus on a grade one, so that kind of narrowed it down to, you know, either Arkansas, Gulfstream, or Keeneland. And then with Windstar having We the People in Arkansas, kind of put it down to these two. And then we just felt like, you know, the extra week and everything would probably benefit him.
Very good. Well, that leaves us only with maybe a potential maiden breaker on Friday. What about Sakoon?
I would be a little bit surprised if he won first time out. He's been a work in progress. We've put plenty of works into him. He's got a great foundation, but he's not a super quick colt, and so I think he'd be one to look for a little later down the road.
Todd Pletcher, everybody, look for him, you know, pulling on his ear or you know, what's your go-to signal to when you're bidding on a horse?
I usually try to keep it as low-key as possible, just like if I have an ink pen or something like that, kind of wave that to the bid spotter.
Todd Pletcher, everybody. Todd, good luck tonight, this afternoon at the sale, and this weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Todd Pletcher on Gene Melnick and much more. So thanks to Todd for that. We're going to run out of time here. Todd, Seth, Dick Powell, and Sid Fernando, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale, Adam Koenig, and Pat Cummings to start it out. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow morning at the races.
Are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Nationally recognized for making stallions since 1933 and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading freshman sire, Mosler by Warfront, as well as Divining Rod, Frisian Fire, and Super 99. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.